The absence of light. The loss of direction. No frame of reference. The presence of fear and uncertainty. Void. And then, a light. It starts as a flicker. It's not glaring for all to see, but it's a light nonetheless. Beautiful and mysterious, helping us to see, guiding us, warming us, comforting us. It is growing. It is shining brighter now. In one timeless moment, something of heaven is birthed through the tears of a teenage girl and the cry of a newborn baby king. All of heaven is perched at the edge of the sky, watching, waiting. God is sending the light of heaven into the dark of this world. To the young. To the old. To the weak. To the strong. To the lost. To the found. He is coming to us. He is walking with us. He is dying for us. He is living in us. Our unthinkable darkness is being shattered by unbearable light. And we gather to see, to view with fresh eyes again, the light that all the darkness in the world cannot ever extinguish. Jesus is the light of the world.
Well, praise the Lord. How many of you are thankful that Jesus is the light of the world? Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, you guys need to give a big round of applause to our AV team. They have been pushing a rope uphill this morning. I'm telling you. Technology is wonderful when it works, okay? But these guys have done a tremendous job, finally got us up and going. It looks like we might be off of our size a little bit, so we're going to be surprised here with sermon notes. If you're following us on the app, it's available for you too there, and you can follow us along there. And thankfully, the live stream people have everything they're supposed to have, so those who are watching from varied places are able to see the scripture. So we hope everything's going to work out all right. Give those guys a hand, would you? They work very hard. Praise the Lord. You know, light is just so important. How many of y'all know how important light is? Amen? Dylan, show them how important light is. Just kill them. Amen? But listen, when you run out of light, come on, let's run out of light again. When you run out of light, how many of you know, now thankfully we've got a little light left here, but how many of you know when you run out of light, the first thing that you do is try to find the what? The nearest light to you. You know, today, we can do this. Come on, join me. Come on, where are my smartphone people? Come on, look at this. Check this out now. Come on. Turn around. Check that out. Isn't that beautiful? That's called a candlelight service with no wax. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. You know, I've been in those situations before where, you know, you lost your lights, something happened. Thankfully, we have generated power at our house. You say, well, man, I didn't know Pastor had that kind of money. No, you don't understand. I was looking into generated power one day. And when I finally realized how much it was going to cost me, I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. You know, it was about somewhere between a $5,000 and a $6,000 ticket to just put a generator outside your house so that if the power did fail. And so, you know, in myself, I was saying, well, I got power today. I had power yesterday. More than likely, I'll have power tomorrow. So we couldn't justify, even when we built our house, we couldn't justify in that budget doing a generator. So after being in the house and going through a winter or so that was kind of challenging and ice got on the lines and we lost power, after that happened, I told Pastor Joy, I said, you know what, we need to look into that generator thing again. So we called the generator guy up and we said, hey, just saw your truck on the road. Won't you stop by and just kind of give me an idea of what we're looking into? Now, I already knew how much, $5,000 or $6,000, okay? So he comes by and he said, you know, it works out just right. I was working on one of your neighbors down the street here. Yes, I saw your truck there the other day. That's why I called you. He said, well, let me just give you a price. So he gives me a price and he said, it's going to cost you a little over $5,000, probably about $5,200. And I said, well, I appreciate it. However, we're not going to be able to do that this time. So Pastor Joy and I were scheduled for a trip to go skiing in mind to go to Massanutten, and we did that, and we enjoyed a little bit of time away and had a chance to ski. And while we were gone, I get this telephone call. He says, well, Pastor, guess what? I got your generator here, and we fired it off just a few minutes ago, and everything's fine. I said, ho. I said, what? He said, yeah, we just fired it off, and everything's fine. He said, you might even hear it running in the distance here. We're just working through some things. I said, sir, I just told you I was looking into it. I did not want the generator because I couldn't handle the $5,200. He said, you know, when I finished talking to you the other day, he said, I drove off your property and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to give this generator to this man. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, I'm a Christian serving the Lord. And he said, I appreciate what you do. And he said, so you won't get a bill from me. The generator's yours. He gave me light. Come on. Amen. Praise God for that. I've been serving in ministry long enough to hear some challenges from people sometime. And, you know, in the holidays or in the wintertime or in this season of life, sometimes, you know, it becomes a struggle for people because power bills are higher and things can kind of get out of hand sometimes. And so what has happened over the years, I've heard people say, you know, that in essence, the power company was going to intervene. And I've never heard people say, they're going to turn my power off. I've got a notice in the mail here. They're going to turn my power off. They never say, you know, I got a little notice here from the power company, and they're getting ready to disconnect me. They don't say that. You know what they say? They're going to cut my lights out. What? They're going to cut my lights out. They never say power. They never say electricity. You know, is there any way, you know, you could help me here? Do you know some way I could get some help here? Because they're going to what? Cut my lights out. Why do people say that? Because light's important. Light's important. When it goes down, we try to scurry to the nearest one we can find. And it doesn't become hard when the darkness comes, because what happens is light dispels darkness. And it can be just a little flicker, but you can go to it. Why? Because that's what light does. Amen. See the value of it? Light is extremely important. It's extremely important. The same is true in the spiritual. Amen. The same is true in the spiritual. You know, we need light in the natural. Why? So that we can stay focused. We need light in the natural so that we can have direction before us. You wouldn't want to go down the highway at night with no headlights. We met a guy last night, or not met a guy, we were in the lane beside us. This guy passed us out on 64. Pastor Joy said, look at him. He didn't have a single light on his car. And we, you know, I said, well, there's enough traffic out here. He probably don't even realize. And all of a sudden, about 2 miles up the road, she says, ah, there you go. What did she see? She saw him turn the light on. I thought to myself, idiot, it's about time, okay? You know, lights keep us focused. Light brings direction. Light also does what? Brings security. How many of you remember when you had that little kid and you were trying to teach him you sleep where? In your own bed. How many of you are 14 years old and still sleeping in the mom and daddy's bed? Come on. I hope not. But how many of you know that when the kids were little, one thing that was a challenge for them is for them to stay in their own bed and have what? No light. So what did you do? You purchased a little Mickey Mouse light with big ears and all that stuff, and you plugged it in the wall. And what did that just little bit of light do? It brought them a sense of security. That's what light does. You feel better about things when you have light. The same is true in the spiritual. In the spiritual sense, we need light to be focused. We need the light of God's love and His power and His Spirit and His presence in our life. Why? So that we can stay focused. We need His light so that we can find direction. Even His Word says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? And a light unto my path. I'll hide it in my heart that what? That I might not sin against you. We need His light in our life for security too. Man, I would hate to be living in this season, in this hour, with the world just drastically moving fast, pacing forward to the end, and not have a sense of peace and light and hope in my life. Thank God. I was reading yesterday. I was just going over my message in my mind and my spirit, and I just began to weep. I just begin to cry. Why? I just begin to weep because of the presence of God. The light of God turned on in my spirit, and I began to cry in His presence. I said, Lord, I thank you for your light. Why do we need light? Because light dispels darkness, and every one of us are born with darkness in our life. In the book of Romans, Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 23. He says, listen, for all have sinned and what? And fall short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. You can be a very good and upstanding, upright person in the community. You can be the nicest person in the world. You can buy all of these gifts and distribute them to people who have need. But guess what? At your best, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. It traces all the way back. Pastor Joy ran into a guy in a restaurant here, not too far from here. And she said she discovered his last name was Phillips. And he was an African-American guy. And so every time she goes through that particular restaurant in the Windsor area, he says, hey, you know we're kin. And she said, absolutely. He said, no, I'm just kidding you. I was just joking. And he was saying that because he didn't know if she would be comfortable as a Caucasian with him saying, I'm kin to you, because he was not a Caucasian. He was an African-American. She said, you know, we are kin. And we were talking about that yesterday when we drove through the same drive-thru. We were talking about that. And I said, you know what? If you trace every one of us back, we're all kin. We all came from Adam's race. That's why all have sinned. You may say, well, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You were born, okay? You were born and your forefathers were sinful and they passed that down to you. You know, all have sinned. Because of one man's sin, all have sinned. Adam and Eve on down. Sinners we are, sinners we're born, we're sinners every day. It's the curse of humanity that has chosen darkness over light. We choose darkness over light. Listen, but 600 long years before Jesus was born in that little village, that little hamlet called Bethlehem, which means what? House of bread. 600 long years. There was a prophet by the name of Isaiah who thundered these words. And he said in chapter 9, verse 2 of his prophecy, the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Not because he saw it, not because he saw the baby being born, not because he could, but how? Because he could see it in the Spirit. Amen. Because he heard the Holy Spirit say to him, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, what? A light has dawned. 600 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah said this. And there are over 300 prophetic words in the Old Testament alone that talk about the coming of Jesus, the coming of Messiah, the Savior, God's gift of what? Light to this world. Those hundreds of years pass by, and we fast forward to not 600 BC, but we fast forward to the first century, and Jesus is a young man in his 30s, and he's preaching what? The kingdom of God. He's in a land near the great sea, the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching the kingdom of God, establishing the very thing that you and I are a part of today, the kingdom of God. He's preaching the kingdom. He's building the kingdom, walking around in shoe leather, establishing the kingdom of God. And Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, Matthew records this. Jesus begins preaching even before he calls his 12 disciples. Look at what he says here. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to where? Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and he lived in Capernaum, small town. Small town, smaller than Cofield, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said, what? Through the prophet Isaiah 600 years ago. Jesus is preaching. He says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? He preached, you need to repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is before you. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand if you're in the King James. God's holy word is so true. I've been there so many times. In my mind's eye, I was visiting it yesterday. In just a few days, less than a month, I'll be walking in that same spot again. And every time, the Spirit of God just grips me and I think about, wow, this is the truth. This is the reality of what we read in the Bible, that Jesus walked around this Galilee area and he established his kingdom saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John speaks of Jesus here. His earthly beginning, though he is eternally existent. Somebody say, when did Jesus begin? Well, it began on a starry night in Bethlehem. No. That's when God became what? Flesh. But that wasn't the beginning of Jesus. Jesus is what? Eternally existent. He's always been. Where was Jesus at creation? He was there. He just took on human flesh on a starry night in Bethlehem. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Check it out. In the beginning was the Word. In the very beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of what we know as time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was what? The light of all mankind. The light does what? It shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And guess what? The darkness will not overcome it. He has victorious. You cannot overcome Jesus. Verse 6, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I love how John says this. He's talking about John the Baptist, but he says of John the Baptist, he says he came as a witness to do what? To testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light, verse 9, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world has made, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not what? Recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Remember when you go back in your mind's eye, remember of the cruelty of the Romans and what they did to Jesus. They didn't receive Jesus. They just said, what? Crucify him! Crucify him! He came to everyone, but everyone didn't receive him. They rejected him. They rejected him. The stone the builders rejected has now become the capstone, the cornerstone. He says, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to do what? I only mentioned this earlier, to become the children of God. Aren't you thankful that you're a child of God today? Not because of good works, not because of your money, not because of your faithfulness. You're a child of God because of trust and belief in his name. I hear people all the time, Pastor, I'm going to come to church one day. I just got some things I got to get right. Can I tell you something? If you're waiting to get it right, you're never coming to church. Do you get clean before you take a shower? No. If you wait until you get everything in order to come to church, guess what? You're never coming. Because guess what? Every one of us sitting here today, we're sinners just saved by the grace of God. Our best is not good enough. So it's not really about merit. It's not really about good deeds. It's not really about nice things or kindness. We're all sinners. And Jesus goes about this and he ensures us. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born, verse 13, not of natural descent, nor of human decision or by our husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, talking about Christ here. John is talking about Christ. The Word, Christ the Word, became flesh that starry night in Bethlehem. And he made his dwelling among us. He uses the analogy here of pitching a tent. God pitched a tent and came to earth. And he sojourned with humanity, his highest form of life. God pitched a tent. God came and dwelled among us and lived among us. And he understood us. And he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. He says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, who's full of grace and truth. Jesus goes about the earth, and what is he doing? He's teaching the kingdom. He's healing the sick. He's setting free those who are bound by demonic spirits and all who are oppressed. He let the people know that he was what? I am the light. I'm the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke again to the people, and what did he say? I'm the light of the world. And he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but what? But will have the light of life. Jesus transforms lives. Many of you that are sitting here today, you can look back in your former life, and you know because you know because you know that he has transformed your life. He has changed you. I know some of your stories, and I know that you are not the person that you used to be. You are transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are transformed because the light has come into the world and overtaken your darkness. And you willingly come to him. Saul of Tarsus is a great example. In the Bible, he's a biblical example. Probably one of the greatest examples of the light of Christ changing a man. In Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 20, this narrative of the Apostle Paul as he stands before a man named King Agrippa. And he tells him how he was on the road to Damascus that night, and he had a hatred for Christians. He had acquired permission, if you will. He had acquired the rights to go there, and he was going to slaughter Christians. Anybody who named the name of Jesus, he was going to take their life. He says he was on the way there, and the light of the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Lord knocked him to the ground and got his attention and spoke to him about his divine destiny. Look at what he says. Jesus reveals himself to Paul, beginning with verse 16. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared unto you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and what you will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles, and I'm sending you to them. Look at what he says here. I'm sending you to them to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them, here we go, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's God's purpose in your life. That's God's purpose in my life, to change us, transform us, so we might become blessed, so that we might what? Be a blessing, to take the light to other people. He said, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. How are you sanctified? By faith in him. We know you're trifling. You know I'm trifling. At our best, we're not good enough. But we become sanctified by what? By our relationship with him. And he looks at us and he sees us as righteous before him. He declares that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a win-win. That's a win-win. You get declared something that you know full well you're not. So the light of the world, Jesus, appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. And just a few years after Jesus has died and he's resurrected and from the grave, and he transformed this man's life, and he receives what? He receives the light. And what else? He not only receives the light, he becomes the light. Think about this. He receives the light, and God calls him to receive the light so that he might what? Become the light. That's what God's gift of light does. That's what God's gift of light is. John wrote about it in his epistle as well. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Notice this, that which was from the beginning. John's writing about Jesus now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John says, I saw him. I saw him with my eyes. We have looked at him. We have touched him with our hands. This we proclaim to you, the word of life. The life appeared, John says, and we've seen it and we've testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with him. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. Here's the message. God is light. God is light. And in him, watch this now, there's no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, what are we doing? We're lying. And we do not live out the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We receive the gift of light, and we become the light to others. Jesus said it this way, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. He says, you know, he says he was the light of the world. Now what does he say about you? When you come to him, he says you are the light of the world. He says a city or a town built upon a hill, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. He says a city or a town built upon a hill cannot be hidden. Let me explain it to you, Jesus says. You don't take a light and put it under a bowl. You don't light it up and then put something on top of it. He says you don't do that. He says instead you put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. And in verse 16, he says, in the same way, what I want you to do is I want you to let that light that is in you shine out before others. That they may what? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus is the light. He's the light. And God's will for every one of us, not just this Christmas season, is for us to let our light shine before men. When we have an opportunity to speak up, you know, it can be something very simple. You can go out to someone that you work with, and how many of you have been out with that person to eat before, and all of a sudden they get their food and they're just like Pac-Man. They just sit down and they just go for it. You know what you can do? You can get your food and you can sit down and you can wait. You can jump ahead of them. You say, well, that's not kind. Well, it is if you have a mission in mind. You can jump ahead of them and you can sit there and you can wait. And when they come to the table, you're just sitting there staring at your hamburger. And then they sit down and you can say, I waited for you because I just wanted to pray over the food. And you can just say, Father, thank you for this hamburger. I speak blessing over the person who prepared it. I thank you for your provision, Lord. Strengthen my body. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what you just did? You shined the light. You shined the light. You didn't look at him and say, you're going to hell. That's not going to work. You didn't look at him and say, you know what? You're lost, and I want you to be found. That's not going to help anything. There is no condemnation that needs to come from you to them. You just need to love them. If it takes you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you just need to say your blessing. You just need to love them unconditionally and watch God let your light so shine before those men that they may see your good works. And guess what's going to happen when they get in a little trouble? You know who they're going to call? Not Ghostbusters. They're going to call you. Because they know your position. They know your faith. Why? Because you've let your light so shine before men. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's so fun to do good deeds.
Amen.
Yesterday we were doing some last minute things. In fact, all of our Christmas has been last minute. Amen. And we were just doing little last minute things, and you say, well, were you shopping for Josh or Abby or Zach? No. Shopping for somebody I don't know. I don't know them. What's their name? I don't know. All I know is they're 18 months old. All I know is they're going to get one gift. At least one. God wants you to shine your light. There's so many ways, especially at Christmas time, that you can let your light so shine before men. Can you help me here as we close today? Would you just one more time, would you just pull out your phone? Would you just take your light and just sing with me this morning? Just sing with us this morning. Would you just hold your light up? Come on. Let's stand together all over this room. Maybe you got a lighter in your pocket. Well, I don't want to take that because I don't want anybody to know there's smoke. It's all right. They know it anyway. It's okay. We're not here about your smoking. I don't have a lighter. I got some matches. Light one up. Let's just lift our lights. Let's just lift our hands. Let's just lift our hearts for a moment. Come on. All over this room. Sing it, Richard. Just ask you this morning, are you here? And you'd say, Pastor, I'm just not really happy with where I am concerning the light. It would be terribly disappointing if you came to a service like this and you felt the Holy Spirit. Some of you probably just thought, well, man, I heard this lady talking, and what was she doing? She's speaking in another language, a language that she didn't know. And then we waited, and God, through the gifts of the Spirit, spoke and gave us what he wanted us to hear. That's the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. Then the pastor spoke up and said something. That's a prophetic word to the house. God is saying, I want to speak to you right now. And this is what I want to say. You may not be familiar with all that, but what you are familiar with is a feeling in your heart. A feeling in your spirit, a feeling inside of you that may be right now just not comfortable. We proclaim Christ today as what? The light of the world. And he called you to be the light. Maybe you're not happy with where you are right now concerning the light. Could I just get you to slip out of your seat where you are and just come and stand at a holy altar? Just come and stand in his presence. It's just between you and him. Just sing it one more time, Richard. Just step out of your seat if you...
Oh.
If you just need to do some business with the Lord this morning.